Let's look at Psalms today, Psalms chapter 26 and verse 1. Psalms 26 and verse 1. And it's so short, let's just read it together. Have they got it up there for you? They sure do. Okay, let's read it together. Read it with me. Here we go. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. I want to lift that last phrase from there that says, I have trusted in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. I want you to say those four words with me. I shall not slide. Let me be clear. That's a backwards motion that the word is implicating there. The word that's sharing, that word slide, you've probably heard the term backslide. It's the same sort of notion there. So David is speaking here and he said, here's what's happened. I have trusted in the Lord, so therefore I will not go back. I will not slide back. Look at somebody and say, don't slide. Look at somebody else and say, you don't want to slide. Look at somebody else and say, go forward. Amen. I shall not slide. Lay your Bibles down. Lift your hands to heaven. Let's ask the Lord to help us today. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us today. And Lord, we give you praise and honor for what you're going to do in our hearts. We give you license to do so in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. It's all right, Joe. It's all right, Joe. Hey, buddy, how are you doing? You suffer the little children. Let them come to the altar. That's what I say. Let them come to the altar. Amen. Give God praise one more time. Now, if those kids bother you, shame on you. I told Joe, I said, you bring those boys to the house of the Lord. Bring them up. He was teaching them to give in the offering. They were chasing the ushers down to give in the offering. Let the children come. Come on, Aaron. You ought to shout and dance and do something. God bless you. You can be seated today. There is a promise in the word of the Lord that is very important to everyone in this house. And I want you to take notice. I want you to listen. I know sometimes when you settle in, you say, well, I'll wait till the good part. This is the good part. Okay, so please listen. There's a promise in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, that says this, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Promise, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Promise, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There is a promise in the word of God that says the Lord is coming again. And when he comes again, he's going to receive his bride unto himself. Somebody say amen. So my question today is, if he came back right now, would you go? I mean right now. Before you leave this place, would you go? That's something you've got to know. That's something you've got to be sure of. If you're sitting there saying, well, I'm not sure, or I think I will, I'm just going to tell you, it's too risky to assume. It's too risky to hope for. Jesus told us that the kingdom of God would be like this. He told a parable of virgins, of wise and foolish virgins in Matthew 25. He said the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like 10 virgins that took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five, they were wise, and five, they were foolish. The foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The bridegroom tarried. Everybody said it took a while. and they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight the cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And everybody got up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish though with those empty vessels said to the wise, give us of your oil, because our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered and said, oh, no, not so, lest there not be enough for you and us also. But go to them that sell, and you buy for yourselves. And as they went to buy, Jesus told the story that the bridegroom came while they were still trying to get ready. But they that were ready, everybody say, they that were ready. They that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came those foolish virgins and said, Lord, open the door. And he said, the bridegroom said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Jesus summarizes this whole story and says, here's the point. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. This story that Jesus taught us teaches us that there will be those who seem to be in the right place, that seem to have the right stuff and the right things in their hands, but something changed from the time that they picked up their lamp to the time that they were ready to meet the bridegroom. Now, in Jesus' story, there are foolish pursuers that are empty when they maybe used to be full. It is a warning. It's a warning for everybody to be ready. Everybody say ready. To be ready to meet the Lord, to live your life in a way that says, you know what? The most important thing in my life is not this time, but it is the time called eternity that I am headed for. And let me tell you something. When you've got something beyond this world that you're looking for, it takes a little bit of tenacity to move past this world to hope for it. It takes a declaration and a mind that says, I will not be moved from the position of pursuing Jesus in my life. Five were ready. Somebody say ready. They were ready. They were prepared. They had a mindset, as David did, that said, I shall not slide. That word means to waver. It means to shake and tremble and slide back and slip. And David said, I have decided something. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to make sure that he's my priority. And in doing so, I can count on one thing. Therefore, I shall not slide. If Jesus is a question, I understand why you're having trouble. If Jesus is just an on again, off again thing, I understand why you're undecided. But when Jesus is everything, you can stand up with the redeemed and say, you know what? All hell can come against me, but this one thing I can declare to you, I shall not slide. I'm not going back. I'm not turning around. Hey, I'm not giving up. Come on, I want to preach that into somebody today. I want to take somebody that's weary with the word of God and tell you, you don't have to turn around. You don't have to back it up. You can put your face steadfastly toward heaven and decide, I will not slide. Man, look at somebody preached to him just for two. I said, you shall not slide. Come on, prophesy over my house. The psalmist said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. How long? Both day and night. What's the promise? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth in his fruit forth in his season. His leaves don't wither, and whatever he does prospers. But he said, the ungodly, if I say the ungodly, the ungodly are not so. He puts a dividing line between those that trust in Jesus and those that don't. The ungodly, they are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. It doesn't take much to move them. It doesn't take much to displace them. It doesn't take much to frustrate them. Why? Because they are not planted by the river of living water. No wonder Peter would write unto us in the New Testament and tell tell us, brethren, give diligence, pay attention, and make your calling and your election sure. Make sure your relationship is right and ready. No wonder Paul would write in Hebrews chapter 12 and say, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. He'd tell the church in Corinth, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, I'm telling somebody right now, you're not treading water. You're not doing something that doesn't make any difference. If you're pursuing Jesus, you're doing the best thing you could do with the breath that you've got in your body. I'm here to tell somebody your life for him is not in vain. It's not something you do on the side. It's everything that you do in your life. Everybody say steadfast. Everybody say, I will not slide. See, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the stronger we got to be. Let me say that again. You missed it a little bit. The closer we get to the Lord and the coming, his second coming, the stronger we must be, more determined than ever. We've got to have an understanding that progress in our pursuit and relationship with Jesus is absolute priority. And I'm trying to preach us into a spirit and a mindset and a way of thinking that says, I shall not, I shall not. It's a truth. It's declarative. It's never going to change. I shall not slide. It's too close to compromise. His coming's too close to turn around. His coming is too close to give in. His coming is too close to be deceived by Satan. It's too close for you to get frustrated and beat down and so tired and disillusioned that you quit or that you give up. Let me tell somebody right now, God's been too faithful for you and to you. And the price is too high. Eternity is on the line, ladies and gentlemen. And I've decided, I don't know if there's anybody else here with me, but I've decided if eternity is the cost, I shall not slide. I'm going to stay in there. I'm going to fight the fight. I'm going to stay determined. I'm going to love the truth. Somebody say amen. I shall not slide. See, this prayer that David shared was a prayer for divine scrutiny and redemption. Because David went through some stuff. Did you know that? I said, David, he went through some life experiences. He went through some tough times, rough battles. People talked about David. People accused David. People tried to kill David. That's some pretty major problems. You know, this last week I've been tired. And I've got a toilet that I can't get for the water to turn off on it. It keeps filling up. I don't know what's going on. I've got so many problems. I've been just going through some tests. We had lots of family issues and things. We had a shower we had to put on. I had work I had to do. I had to manage all these things and keep all these balls up in the air. And I just been going through it. Anybody? Let me just tell you something. You couldn't live David's life. David had people trying to kill him. David had people lying about him. And this prayer is in retrospect, it's in response to all these things that are gone. And he says, examine me. Another version says, vindicate me, O Lord. Prove me. Try the reins of my heart. For loving kindness is before mine eyes. I've walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. We'll talk about that in a minute. I've hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thy altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved, listen to him, I have loved the habitation of thy house. And the place where thy honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, David said, I walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place, and in the congregations, I will bless the Lord. David, in that tent, he gave reasons why he would not slide. He started out and he said, I'm not going to slide, but I'm going to trust in the Lord. Then he began to lay out the details of what it meant to trust in the Lord. He laid out a case. He was one of the best lawyers in the Old Testament. He laid out a case before the Lord. God, you got to stand up for me. You got to come in and go to bat for me, because here's what's happening. He said, I won't slide because, Lord, I remember where I've been. Come on, I want you to look at somebody right now and tell them, say, I won't slide because I wasn't always where I'm at right now. Come on, tell somebody else, I won't slide because I've come from a mighty long way. I won't slide because I didn't always look like this. I didn't always act like this. I didn't always have what I have right now. You ought to know my story. I've got too much of a story to slide backwards now. Listen to me. When you start to waver, you got to start remembering the wonder. When you start just wavering, you got to remember all the way. You got to start documenting and detailing every blessing that God's put into your life. Every time he touched you, every time he healed you, every prayer that he answered. You got to understand, thanksgiving is a tool to improve your endurance. You can go further if you just start thanking God more. You can take another step when you start remembering how many steps you've already taken. It's hard to go backwards when you remember what behind you looks like. Do you really want to go back there? Anybody want to go back there? You want to go back when you controlled it all? You want to go back when you controlled all your money? You want to go back to when you controlled your marriage and you called all the shots? You want to go back where you just did your kids whatever you thought was right? You want to go back when you were in charge of all the choices? How did that work for you? I'm going to tell you how it worked for me. But when I came to the Lord, anybody, come on now. I see some of you need to testify right now. When I came to the Lord, all of a sudden my choices got better. All of a sudden blessings started. When I came to the Lord, life was life and life more abundantly. I won't slide because I remember where I've been. I won't go back to the poorer choices. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. And his mercy endures forever. In the psalmist that said, I will bless the Lord at, somebody scream it, all times, and what? His praise shall continually be with my mouth. That means my mouth is always filled with praise. That means there's no room for gossip. There's no room for evil. There's no room for lies. There's no room for anything else. Somebody needs to tell the Lord, my mouth is full, and it's full of the praises of God. No wonder he said, taste and see that the Lord is good. I won't slide. I shall not slide because I remember where I came from. And I won't slide because I'm grounded in truth. Come on, somebody say, because I'm grounded in truth. David said, for thy loving kindness is before my eyes. Your love is before me. And I have walked in thy truth. What is truth? I'm glad you asked. Jesus answered for us in John 17 and 17 when he prayed for us. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Then he defines it. Thy word. Somebody say the word is truth. Let me tell you, when you get outside of this, you're liable to get anything. You'll get ideas, you'll get philosophies, you'll get theories, you'll get theology, you'll get all kinds of things. But I'm telling you, none of that is what's going to judge you on Judgment Day. It is the Word of God. This is truth. That's why I've decided I'm staying right here. That's why I can stand up and say, look, I don't care what the world says, and I don't care what culture says. I know what the Word of God says, and this is truth. And it's a ground that I can stand on that is unshakable and unmovable. Didn't David say, the psalmist, he said, but that man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. 2 Thessalonians speaks of people that will perish because, listen to me, it's not that they didn't hear the truth. It's not that they didn't know the truth. He said they would perish because they received not the love of the truth. Somehow they never got to the place where they loved this truth. If this is just another religion to you, you'll fail. If this is just another thing for you to do on Sunday, you will falter. Somebody will get a creative argument and knock your faith right out of the box. But when the truth of God, when the love of God's truth is in your heart, there's nothing, there's not a devil in hell that can convince you otherwise. His word is truth. I'm going to meditate on it day and night because it is my foundation. Parable of the seed. It's all about how you receive the word of the Lord. I don't have time to go all into it. But Jesus told a parable about the word of God. And he said it's like a sower throwing seed. And four things happened. There were some people that received the word, but the devil snatched it away. There's other people that received the word, but life circumstances and frustration burned it away. He called it the sun, burned it away. And then there was others that the love of the world choked it, and riches choked it out of them. But then there was a good soil. Everybody say good soil. There was the one that was ready. There was the virgin that had oil in their lamp. It was them that raised a crop and it grew. Listen, there's got to be somebody on the sound of my voice. Or let me just say, is there anybody under the sound of my voice that said, there's the truth of the word of God in my heart. And because it's in my heart, I shall not slide. I won't go back from truth. I won't go back. And I won't slide because David said, I watch where I step. Look at somebody and say, you need to watch where you step. I love this scripture in 26 and 12 of Psalms. Listen, he said, my foot standeth in an even place. Everybody say it with me. My foot standeth in an even place. You know, you've probably ran into people, I know I have, that have said, man, I just keep battling. Seems like it's one thing or another. There's always a fight, and there's always a thing, and there's always a issue, there's always a circumstance. It seems like I go from one thing to another, I'm stumbling. It's one thing after another. A lot of times I like to ask people, well, where are you walking? Because rocky, uneven, unstable ground is always going to be prone to slips, falls, and stumbles. And another great question is, who are you walking with? Because who you're walking with and the pull that they have on your life can make a difference of your availability and can make a difference of your stability in your walk with God. Somebody say amen, even if you don't think it's right. I'm telling you, who you're with and where you're walking makes a big difference at how you can make the journey in front of you. You got to be careful and watch where you step, because you do have a step that's ordered of the Lord. There is a path, there is a direction, and you've got to have the spiritual discernment to discern and understand what that path is. David said this, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, and whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. I don't want to even be around those people. He said, I have not sat with vain persons, neither go in with dissemblers. Or another translation says, pretenders. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, will not sit with the wicked. Vain means people that are of a falsehood and they're dissonest and they full of lies. Dissemblers are the pretenders, the people that say they love God. They know all the scriptures and they know all the verses and they can say the right things. But when you look at their life, boy, why is it so quiet? There must be a lot of pretenders in here, I guess. Am I stepping on somebody? I didn't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but it's the word of the Lord anyway. He said, I don't hang around with the pretenders. I've watched people hang around with pretenders and become pretenders. I've watched people hang around with vain persons and become vain people. I've watched people hang around the wrong crowd, and all of a sudden they're going a different direction. I'm just trying to preach. I love you. Listen, pastor loves you, but listen to me. You better watch where you step and who you're stepping with. You got to be careful who has influence over you. I won't slip because of who's pulling on me. I've made sure I've filtered. I've made sure everyone I lean on is going in my direction. Did you hear me? I make sure everybody that I'm leaning on is going in my direction. I've met plenty of people going the other way. I just pat them on the back, bless you. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Amen. If you ever need me, call me. But that's not the way I'm going. I'm going home. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to the rapture. And I don't have time to pretend. I don't have time to make believe. I don't have time to play church. Hallelujah. The steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord. And that man, he will delight in his way. His steps, listen, the steps of a good man. He said they stay in the house of God. I told the Lord, I saw these scriptures. I said, God, last time I preach about this. And they're going to think I have an agenda. They're going to think I'm bitter and I'm the old man that just can't get off a stake. They're going to think all these things. And he said, preach anyway. I said, okay. But there's something powerful about the house of God. Do not devalue what happens in this house. You got to understand this. Sometimes let me just tell you about me, okay? You can't get mad at me if I'm talking about me, right? There have been times where I've been, you know, my mind's confused and I got questions trying to figure things out. But I came into the house of the Lord and I got in the presence of God. Sister Rosa, I hate to admit this to you, but there's been a couple of times where I had a problem pressing my way into his presence. But then I came in here with you good people, and all of a sudden what was hard for me became very easy because of the collective praise and atmosphere that was in this place. And so I just decided, I'm just going to go back again and again and again and again. David said, I've loved the house of thy habitation. I've loved where you dwell, Lord. Love the habitation of the house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. He said in the congregations, I will bless the Lord. I don't want anybody to slide. Would you stand with me tonight? The last thing that David said that I want to just focus on for a moment is 26 and 6. He said this, I will wash my hands in innocency. And then he makes this statement. It grabbed me. He said, I will compass thine altar, O Lord. He said, I'm going to surround your altar. I'm going to make sure my life is near your altar. Now, I was here. Brother Jeff, you were here too. Jeff Wilhelm and me and another guy named Brother Dave. Mostly Brother Dave, actually, if I remember right. We built these stairs. And I can tell you all it is timber and wood and 2x4s. And then we bought some nice carpet, and we put that carpet on there. And we made sure that there were steps and there were places because we didn't want to build a church without an altar. Something happened. I mean, there's nothing magic in the materials, but something happened when we consecrated this as a house of the Lord. This became the altar. And I remember praying before the first service that we ever inhabited this room. I remember walking in this space. We made sure that in the design of this space that we didn't get these pews too far. There's people that said, we can fit some more pews in. And I said, and many others said, listen, we can have more pews, but we can't have less altar. We need to make sure that there's places, there's a space for people to become and for people's lives to be changed, for people to step out from where they are and come to a place for where God can change them. I remember that first service, I was walking up and down and in between all these places up here. And I walked from that door and went all the way around to this side. And I can tell you what I'm praying. It's 20 years ago or so. I was saying, Lord, I don't even know. We don't even know how this is going to go. Back then, it wasn't this crowd. It was a much smaller crowd. But I was walking back and forth that first day, Joe, and I said, Lord, if there's anything that happens here, let thousands of people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost right here in these altars. I went back from door to door, and I prayed, God, let people repent of their sins at these altars. God, let people be baptized in Jesus' name in that baptismal. Because, friend, you can never go wrong with an altar in your life. And I'm appealing to somebody. Don't get far from the altar. Don't get far. There's a lot of folks that run out at the end of service. I don't care if the sermon didn't speak two words to you. You ought to be at an altar and say, Lord, that preacher missed it, but you won't miss it. And I'm coming to the altar right now, and I want to seek your face. David said, you know what? You want to know why I don't slide? It's because I refuse to remove the altar from my life. I've compassed thy altar. I've stayed at your altar. I've surrounded your altar. I wonder if there's anybody here today that wants to make sure that you don't leave this place until you find the altar one more time. Come on. Maybe there's somebody you're wavering. Maybe this message did speak to you, and you're wavering, and you're wondering, and you're frustrated, dry, weary, tired, whatever it is. I invite you, reaffirm your declaration of faith in your life today. I shall not slide. I'm not going backwards. I'm not giving up. I'm going to an altar today, and I'm making my calling and my election sure. I'm making sure that things are right in my heart. And maybe today when I was preaching, God started speaking to you about some of your steps, about some of your relationships. He started speaking to you about ownership that you're taking over of your past and going backwards. And you're saying, no, it's got to change. I got to get forward. I got to get a forward thought. I've got to look forward and look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Come on, is there anybody else? Anybody else? I can't leave without going to the altar. I got to come past this altar. It's what keeps me. It's what allows me to know and be confirmed and declared in my faith. Truth, God. I just got to say it one more time. I'll never forsake your truth. I'll never walk away from your truth. I know too much to walk away. I know too much to give up. I know too much to change now. Come on, the coming of the Lord is too quick. It's too soon. It's right there on the horizon, folks. Jesus is coming again, and he's coming back for a bride, a people that have made themselves ready. Ready, full of his Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, lamps trimmed and burning. Come on, come on, make this a sacred place. Make this wood and carpet and lights and pews, make this a sacred, holy altar. Jesus, Jesus. Come on, get honest with the Lord. He knows, he knows. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've been doing. He knows what you said. He knows what you've thought. He's not surprised, nor is he standing there with evil eyes looking at you, judging. He's got open arms saying, look, this is a place of cleansing and repentance. This is a place where tears can be shed and cleanse the filth of a soul. In the name of Jesus, come on. I declare right now, God, the power of God is in this house to forgive. Come on, the Lord seeks such that will come and will repent, will turn their hearts away from the thoughts of their mind and turn their actions away from the very same. Come on, that's it. That's it. Search me, oh God. Search me. Try my reins. Examine my heart. I'm here at the altar, Lord. I'm here to lay down. I'm here to sacrifice. Come on, would you do it? That's it. That's it. That's beautiful. The Lord loves it. He loves it. Yes, Lord. Ever false way. Ever false way. I examine everything today, Lord. Eternity's too costly for me just to walk out this door. Eternity, the price is too high. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.